how can anything experience nirvana with vana has no marks or signs?
But when one says that one would like to reach, to attain nirvana, there must be the right understanding of what nirvana is. Otherwise, how can we attain nirvana?
Well, but how can we say what nirvana is?
Now, nirvana does not appear right now at all, right? While they're seeing, whisper object is seen, hearing sound is heard. So we're talking about reality in order to see that if there is still attachment to the conditioned realities, it's impossible to attain or to experience nirvana.
Yes, agreed.
So, and this must be developed.
Yes.
The panya, right? Yes. Understanding.
Yes. Yes.
So
agreed.
At moment of attaining or experiencing nirvana, there must be a reality which knows what nirvana is. Otherwise, how can one realize that that is nirvana?
But how can there be anything which knows what nirvana is, given that nirvana is absence of all marks?
If there is no understanding of this moment, it's impossible to understand nirvana. Because how can there be the understanding of nirvana while nirvana does not appear, but there can be the development of understanding reality which appears?
What is your understanding of nirvana? Is nirvana a thing?
Opposite of citta, cetasika, and rupa, nirvana has no conditions to arise.
Okay, so then if there are no conditions for nirvana to arise, then how can nirvana be experienced?
By panya, only by panya, by Buddha himself
but
first.
You say panya
Buddha experienced nirvana, so he taught his disciples to develop panya, to experience nirvana. Otherwise, without his teaching, how can we have heard about the word nirvana?
But when you say panya, experiences nirvana, is panya real? Does panya exist?
Citta is real. Cetasika is real. Rupa is real. Because without citta, cetasika, rupa, there is nothing now.
But citta is real but no self, yeah?
Citta is citta. Citta is citta. Citta is an element which can experience an object. Its faculty is to experience an object right now. The object which is seen by citta, which can experience the different degrees of whisper object which appear now.
But as far as I'm thinking, citta even does not exist ultimately.
But who is speaking?
There's a collection of parts.
Citta and cetasika, the rupa cannot speak.
Correct.
So it must be the citta and cetasika only.
I would agree only as far as citta being a reality in the sense that one can say it is a conditioned reality.
Yes, it is conditioned.
Okay, Because if one were to say citta is an absolute unconditioned reality,
no,
then I
would have unconditioned,
to disagree.
Not unconditioned.
Okay.
Conditioned reality.
Okay.
So panya is panya.
So what is panya other than the absence of the defilements of lobha, dosa, moha?
At moment of being fast asleep, is that panya?
No.
At that moment, there is no lobha, dosa, moha, and no panya.
There is moha always.
Not all the time. When we talk about akusala, there are three stages of akusala, not only one.
Okay.
So while one is fast asleep and that person is not an arahata, there is the latent tendency of avicca. But
that
avicca cetasika or moha cetasika does not arise while one is fast asleep. It doesn't perform the function of avicca.
Aha, okay, I see. I see the distinction now. Okay, because my understanding is that avicca is always present until one is arahata.
No. That's why we should understand each moment very precisely. The moment of being fast asleep is moment from seeing and hearing. It's not the same moment of developing understanding either.
But wait a second now. You say there is no avijja in the moment of sleeping.
No akusala cetasika at all. Because the birth consciousness to be born as a human being must have the wholesome cetasikas arising with birth consciousness.
Okay, so we're talking dabanga citta here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But for there to be a composed entity called sentient being, by definition, there must be avijja. Avijja, it must always exist unless one is arahat.
Once you study Abhidhamma, you come to know that there are only the seven universal cetasikas, one of which is not moha.
Sabacitta, sadarana, cetasikas.
Whatever, right? So I understand what you're saying because through different approaches, there are teachings which say that we are born with moha. and we have moha all the time. But once you come to know that moha also arises because of conditions, it's only at the time when you ignore the reality.
Even avijja arises because of conditions.
Moha, avijja is the same, right?
No, there can be distinctions, can't there?
Different terms, but same reality. The nature which cannot understand reality as it is.
As it is, but by definition, unless one is in the moment of magga or pala, or arahat, then there is wrong understanding of realities at some level.
Wrong understanding does not arise all the time either.
It can be just latent tendencies.
Anusya.
They're not active. They're the citta, but they're not active.
But nonetheless, they are present.
Of course.
Okay, so this is the distinction I'm trying to...
But it's not active that time.
Avijja is not just there doing nothing.
But avijja is conditioning every single limb of the 12 limbs of dependent origination at all times.
When? Not all the time. When?
When? So long
when
as one is not an arahat.
No.
Yeah, when it produces results.
When citta is akusala and wholesome only.
Then we may disagree on that.
When citta is kusala, there must also be the latent tendency of avijja, but avijja cetasika does not arise.
Okay, so you're talking avijja cetasika.
Right.
I'm talking avijja in a more specific sense related to the fact that being a produced entity as a sentient being, there must be avijja there.
I'd just like to pause a moment. Khun Su Chin, this is Bruce, and Bruce lives in Japan, and he's here to visit. Anything you would like to say to introduce yourself or to say why you're here?
I was subscribed to an internet discussion list, and I saw Robert's answers to some questions. And I asked a question about something that he thought it would be better to ask the question on the Dhamma study group list. And he invited me over to the Dhamma study group list. And from there, I found Nina's translation of the Survey of Paramattha Dhamma, and I read that and I thought, oh, this is very, very interesting. I must find out more about this. So I'm trying to find out more about this. That's all.
In what way is citta devoid of self?
Who's citta?
Citta in general.
Who's
because
citta?
We say, because
who's
we say,
citta who's citta is devoid of self?
I don't know if that's a relevant question.
We are learning about reality, which arises and falls away every moment. To really understand the nature of the moment as it is, for example, citta is not cetasika, and cetasika is not citta. So citta is a reality, which is not wrong understanding.
Well, we can say that experience happens. To deny experience would be silly. So in that way, I would agree, but I'm just trying to understand how your interpretation is of citta, because and there are many, many debates in...
Yes, what about the experiencing of this moment? For example, do you feel somewhere hard?
Well,
yeah.
There's hardness.
Yeah,
okay.
What experiences hardness?
That is citta.
You call it citta,
right? I label it citta.
Even we don't call it citta, there is a reality which can experience hardness.
It's a conventional reality.
No, not conventional hardness. You don't have to say that it's hard. Not necessary.
The distinction I'm trying to get at is even those are anatta.
All dhammas are anatta.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to understand why they're phrased in such a way like absolute realities, because I will tell you why. In many debates, there has been enormous confusion on these particular points, and in fact, in the Tibetan presentation, one of the very strong criticisms they make is against early Abhidhamma scholars, not here, for example, who believe that Paramattha Dhammas exist with self, with atta, that the citta is atta, the cetasika is atta, and so on and so forth. This is what I was trying to get at. I mean, why do we want to understand hardness? Why do we want to understand blueness? Why do we want to understand...
Because that's the only reality.
Because that's the only... That's another concept, Sukhan. I'm sorry.
No, the hardness, when you experience... I'm talking about the experience of it.
Okay.
That's the only reality.
But what... Right. I guess the point I'm trying to drive at is why do we want to study these Paramattha Dhammas? Why do we want to
understand... Because you cannot deal with concepts. You cannot live in the world of concepts.
Exactly. And how can nibbana possibly arise when there's any kind of mental fabrication? Impossible.
There are paramattha dhammas and there are panyati, the four paramattha dhammas, and then there is conceptualization. how do we know the difference, or how can Panya arise to know the difference between Panyati and Paramatta Dhammas? Is it necessary to know, actually?
At moment of seeing, is the Panyati or just visible object which appears?
Just visual object which appears at a moment of seeing.
Mm-hmm. So one see that one lives in the world of concept, or one lives in the world of Paramatta Dhamma with understanding Paramatta Dhamma as Paramatta Dhamma. Without Paramatta Dhamma, everyone knows that there wouldn't be concept at all. Without citta, cetasika, no thinking.
But even with Panya, there are still concepts. So it's not as though the problem is the concepts, but the problem is not understanding the difference between the realities and concepts.
Well, I disagree on a very specific point, in the sense that there must be at some point an end of fabrications for Nibbana. At some point there has to be the release of notions of self. Other ways are to...
Question. When you say the release of the notion of self, do you mean not clinging to it, or do you mean its disappearance?
Relinquishing all views.
Relinquishing.
The end of all fabrications, papancha.
But would there still not be a concept of table and day and week and these concepts?
One can have those concepts without clinging to them as well.
So it's the release of the clinging.
Yes.
So if there is understanding,
yes,
there is no clinging. It's very tempting to think about what happens at Nibbana, but it's not really particularly helpful, perhaps, in understanding how to get to Nibbana. A lot of people start say, this is what happens at Nibbana, therefore, what I need to do right now is blah, blah, blah.
No, you're absolutely right. I
feel that is not how the Buddha explained it at all.
Can one study realities right now? If one is sitting in meditation, or say sitting in front of a Buddha Rupa, legs crossed, palms in lap, eyes closed, can one perceive realities at that time, at that now? Is there a difference?
Ignorance cannot understand anything, right? And Panya can understand everything, anywhere, anytime.
Is Panya less likely to arise if one is doing sitting meditation? On the DSG list, many people say that because one sits with the intention for Panya to arise, that automatically precludes its arising because you're sitting with a sense of self.
Does one really understand nama and rupa enough to develop right understanding of their characteristics as they are? For example, right now, we're talking about namas and rupas, but does somewhat has the understanding of the characteristic of nama and rupa right now, or just the name or concept of nama and rupa?
Mostly just the name and concept.
So we shouldn't think about meditation or anything, because Panya develops from this moment on to other moment. If there is no Panya of reality of this moment, how can there be the inside, the true nature of Panya, somewhere that one thinks that one can have it later? For example, one used to read the Buddha's teachings, right? And one tries and tries to find out the definition or the understanding of definition. But the definition in Buddha's term just help one to understand reality at this moment, right now. Nama as nama and rupa as rupa. So we don't have to go somewhere else to try to understand the characteristic of nama and rupa. Because now Buddha taught us about lopa. Is there lopa right now? He taught us about seeing. Is there seeing right now? He taught us about thinking. Is there thinking right now? So everything is in here. So when we read, we know that he taught us to understand reality at this moment. And this is the development of understanding. And it will bring the Satipatthana later, but not just by reading Satipatthana and try to develop Satipatthana without understand reality of this moment at all.
If Chetana arises and directs...
Chetana arises all the time.
All the time.
We should understand Chetana, the different levels of Chetana, because there are four chatis of citta and cetasika, right? The kusala, akusala, vipaka, and kriya. And what we are talking about, usually we're talking about the kusala or akusala chetana, not the vipaka and the kriya chetana. So we should understand the characteristic of chetana, no matter it arises with vipaka or kriya. Because usually we can understand only kusala or akusala chetana. But even at the moment of seeing, there is also chetana. So what is the nature of chetana? What's the function of chetana?
At the moment of seeing, there is also chetana.
Right. See? So it needs more and more careful study of the teachings so that we can understand reality which arises all the time. Nama, rupa, citta, cetasika, and rupa. And without this elemental understanding, there cannot be the development of higher and higher understanding of satipatthana. Because satipatthana is the moment of being aware of the characteristic of reality of this moment. For example, we talk about seeing as nama, right? It doesn't have any shape nor form, but it can experience. It is seeing, it sees now. Its function is to see or seeing right now. And we keep on talking about seeing while there is seeing arising and falling away all the time. So that is not satipatthana. But at moment of understanding, there is sati at the level of intellectual understanding by listening.
Can satipatthana arise and one not be aware of its arising?
So it's not sati.
Samatha is kusala citta. Am I using that correctly? Mm-hmm. Is it beneficial to develop that?
Can we say that kusala citta is samatha?
Kusala citta is samatha.
And samatha is kusala.
Samatha is kusala.
Right?
I really don't know.
Because
elementary.
We just hear the word samatha and we don't think much about it. But if we study carefully, what is samatha? So everything should start with what is it? What is it? In order to have real understanding of it. For example, the word samatha, what is it? What is samatha?
It represents a reality.
What kind of reality? Samatha.
Kind of kusala citta.
Can we say that all kind of kusala citta is samatha?
No, of course not.
Why not? Because samatha means moment without akusala cetasikas.
Okay.
It doesn't fully develop samatha also.
We do not talk about bhavana yet. We just talk about the word samatha. So we have to go word by word.
Okay.
For example, samatha is the moment without akusala cetasikas, right?
I never knew that.
So anytime kusala citta arises, it's calm. But so very short.
Sati is arising also?
Sati arises with all kusala.
With each kusala citta at
all
some
levels.
Level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And looking for it arising is the mistake.
Because for the Eightfold Path, Chetana is not one of the Eightfold Path at all.
Do you have any more questions along those lines, Bruce? Because I had a question that I wanted to ask. The question we've been debating quite a bit on Dhamma Study Group is the notion of whether or not it is important to develop formal shamatha-type meditation. And specifically, here's my contention. And I've disagreed with many on the list for a number of reasons, but I believe it very, very important to have established a very firm basis of actual directed samatha practice, in other words, such that the hindrances are suppressed. In fact, according to my teachers, they have denied that there is any way beyond that, not totally dogmatically, by the way, I want you to know, but they have emphasized so very heavily that if you have any hope of developing true panya at all, then you'd better spend at least an hour a day, first of all, developing samatha in seated meditation, and then cultivating jhana meditation and so forth. Now, I realize that there is debate on whether jhana meditation in terms of the four jhanas are necessary, that jhana can arise in other ways like the kanika jhanas and so forth. I understand that one can observe realities in this daily moment, but what are the odds? In other words, in your opinion, does the cultivation of samatha increase the odds of the arising of right view and so forth, or is it just totally unnecessary? I mean, is it just sitting here observing realities right now is good enough?
I just would like to know, why do we study the teachings? Just to have less ignorance, right?
To terminate dukkha, permanently.
If there is still avicca ignorance, there must be dukkha. Mm-hmm. So in order to have no dukkha, there must be no avicca, right? But avicca cannot go away instantly. right? Without the development of panya, can avijja go away?
Well, avijja disappears instantaneously at the moment of maggacitta.
Only for a moment of maggacitta.
But not maggacitta right now.
Oh, not right now, no.
Yeah, okay. Panya has to grow.
Yes, I absolutely agree.
In order to have less avijja.